Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
God's been just speaking to me a little bit lately. I'm not sure where I'm going to go yet. About 3 weeks ago, we had a service here, and there were some different prophetic words that came. And one of the words was that we're in a new season. And you know, the word that you're in a new season can almost be cliche-ish. It can almost be a Christian cliche, can it? I mean, you know, you always hear, well, it's a new season, and God's doing a new thing. And those are all okay. Those are all really, really good. I do not despise prophecy in any way, shape, or form. I never get tired of a prophetic word that declares again how much God loves me. I don't despise that. And I don't despise when somebody has a word that says, it's a new season in your life. And I don't despise when somebody says, God's doing a new thing in the earth again. I just don't despise that, okay? So hear my heart there. But there was something that shifted in the atmosphere on that day. And I don't know if you sensed it as the body of Christ here. And there's just something that I want us to understand as the body of Christ, that God works in times and seasons, that God works in ways that many times you can determine the outcome of what God wants to do if you know His ways. The ways of God are very, very consistent. The way God thinks, the way He reasons, the way He loves. And a lot of times we just chalk our misunderstanding up to mystery, and there is mystery. Believe me, there is mystery. But many of God's ways, that when you can determine and align your life with the ways of God, this life begins to make more sense. Walking in Christ begins to make more sense. Because so much of what we do in the Church of Jesus Christ, especially in America, is we follow after tradition. We follow after the ways that other churches have done it. We follow after the ways other Christians have done it. But there, the ways of God are in the sanctuary. And the ways of God are something that we determine in the sanctuary of our spirit, in the sanctuary of our heart. And we can know the ways, and we can understand the ways of God. Why? Because we're in relationship with the Father. See, I knew my natural dad. I knew because of his ways, who he foundationally was, that I knew there was a predetermined consistency with his action. And the ways of God can be, you know, the actions of God can sometimes be determined, not all the time. Believe me, there's plenty of mystery to walk out. But I'm talking about foundationally how God loves you, how He wants to work in your life, how He wants to set you free, how He wants to bring you into a place of liberty and freedom can be determined because of His ways. It's just His ways. And so the Lord spoke that we're coming into a new season. And the Lord started to speak to me a little bit about this house and about my life personally, and I believe about our city. And I started looking a little bit at the last season. Now, I remember about 6 months ago, something happened in the atmosphere of this house where there was an increased presence of God. I don't know how to explain those things, and maybe it's just me. I don't know. But I tell you, the presence of God, I mean, when we preach and we teach that God is very relevant and He's alive today and He's an encounterable God, I believe that He is. But did you know that people could encounter Jesus and not understand who Jesus was? And there's something about understanding the ways of God. If people who knew the ways of God encountered Jesus and knew who He was. But for me, there's been an increase. About 6 months ago, there was an increase in the presence of the Lord in this place. And I don't know what it is. There are times I come in here and I just weep. There's times I come in here and I just lay on the floor and I just, you know, in His presence. And one of the things that breaks me more than anything, and breaks me in a good way. Back a few years ago, a prophet came through, a national prophet. Can't remember who it was. It's unimportant at this time. But he prophesied over a number of churches in the city, a number of the pastors. And one of the things he said about this house is that this would be a place where the presence of God would be known. Now, I don't know. When I hear that, I just weep. There's a lot of things that we could be known for, but what a privilege, what an honor to be known that this is a place where God can be encountered, where there's the presence. And we're in a new season. I started asking the Lord about the old season. You know, when I hear now we're in a new season, I'm saying, well, what about the old season? For many of us, this last season has been a season of hardship. It's been a season of death. Anybody relating? Failure? Stuff that just hasn't worked out right? Issues of life that have just kind of kept you down? Trials? Just stuff that, you know, you have dreams and many of your dreams have been, you know, challenged in the last season. I started asking God about the last season. What about the last season where, personally, I've had a lot of death in the last season? Probably not wise to go into a lot of the descriptions of it because, you know, we don't glorify trials and tribulations. We glorify Jesus that brings us through them. But if you have been in this house and you've been, you know, you've been through a season of death, I want to encourage you that there's a new season. Now, the Lord spoke to my heart very, very clearly, and he said, Dave, the way to make the last season fertilizer for growth in the new season is in radical thanksgiving. The way to make the past season of hardships, of failures, of trials, the stuff that didn't work out that you gave yourself to, that you know God told you to do, and didn't work out. The way to take and make that season fertilizer for the season that's coming is through radical thanksgiving. Now, how many know that radical thanksgiving for stuff that didn't work out is counterintuitive? It doesn't make sense, does it? But I believe that there is such a key in having a heart of thanksgiving. Radical thanksgiving. Last week, 2 weeks ago, Luke prophesied about you are called to be overcomers. You know, and that's another word that I've heard for 33 years that I've been a Christian. While you're the head, you're not the tail. You're an overcomer, you know. And yet there are times and seasons where those prophetic words carry a greater weight in the spirit. And I don't want us to lose this. I don't want us to miss the weightiness of what God is doing in this season, in this house, in your life. You know, I don't want to be one of those that stood on the side of the road and just wondered if Jesus was the Messiah or not. And watched as he walked, heard that he was a great prophet, but then when he went to his death, all of a sudden, well, he couldn't have been the Messiah. I guess I was wrong. I'm going to look for another. And you can do that in the times and seasons in your life. You can miss Jesus walking in the middle of your life, if you determine it by the outcome and by the pain, by some of the things that have challenged your faith. Anybody had their faith challenged in last season? I want to encourage you. You're in good company. But those things are never meant to destroy you. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptation. I started preaching this year, back in January. I started preaching based around that verse. Count it all joy. What do you mean, joy? In tribulation? Joy in pain? Joy in the hard things of life? It's nuts. I know it's nuts. But that's the thing that turns your faith into reality. That's the thing that shifts the pain of a past season, the pain of past failures, the confusion of a last season into fertilizer for growth in your life in a new season. Do you always eat the fruit that you're eating was planted in a different season? Dan's a farmer, you know, and if he plants corn in the spring, he's not going to eat corn in the spring. He's going to eat that corn in the fall. Jesus used agricultural terms frequently throughout his ministry. And again, in today's society, we don't understand this thing of waiting. We don't understand this thing of times and seasons. So we want to plant today so that we can eat this afternoon. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work in your life. It doesn't work in the natural. So I want to encourage you, if you in the last season have had some things that haven't worked out, that there's opportunity laying here before you today. That the way to take and make the things in those seasons something that you can eat for health and vitality in this season is through radical thanksgiving. Thanking God for the things that didn't make sense. Not necessarily thanking God for where they came from or how it worked out or any of that, but just the fact that he brought you through. You know, I stand here after 33 years and I wonder, how come I'm still standing here when I have so many friends and people who have known God who have just fallen off and have grown cold in their approach to God? And I don't have an answer for that. I don't know why. But I know this, that the issues of life, the stuff of life, Jesus made one of those exceedingly great and precious promises. Do you like the exceedingly great and precious promises of God? One of them is, in this world, you'll have tribulation. That's a promise. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But you know what? You're not the only ones that has tribulations in this world. People that don't know Jesus are having tribulation too. People who don't know anything about God are coming up to obstacles in their lives. Just look around you. I don't know. There's been something weird going on in my life lately. I look at people and I just see pain. And I'm talking out in the marketplace. I'm talking when you see somebody, you know, that you just know isn't living for God, and you look at them, and maybe there was a time I'd have thought, oh, well, they're just lost. They're just sinners. But there's something in my heart that's saying, no, there's a history that those people carry. People who don't know Jesus have a history. And people that don't know Jesus are encountering obstacles all the time. They're encountering things in life that are just too big for them. And they don't always make the right decisions. And, you know, we work with, we have a couple of gals in the house here that work specifically with unmarried moms. And a lot of these unmarried moms have just made decisions that have put them in a place of bondage, a place of hardship, a place of hurt. And they've had obstacles that they've faced. They've had pain that they've had to face. Now, the difference between them and you and me is that we have hope. We have access to wisdom. We have access to patience when we're walking in these places of pain. I'd love to bring this morning, I'd love to bring a good message of pain-free living in Christ. But I'll guarantee you that if there wasn't pain in this life in Christ, there wouldn't be growth. Count it all joy, brethren, when you come into various temptations. Now, in this house, you don't hear me preach a lot about pain, and you don't hear me teach a lot about tribulations and trials, and you know, we get a diet of that. Just, you know, turn on your television and we get a dial of that. We get a bunch of that stuff. And I will always focus on calling the gold out in you. I will always focus on calling, telling you who you are in Christ. I will always focus on, you know, probably 99 times out of 100, I'm going to encourage you with who you are in Christ and the promises that are on your life. But if we ignore the fact that there's pain, we can paint kind of a picture that, well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't have any trials, you shouldn't have any tribulation. If you're a believer, everything's just going to fly okay. And what happens when you do come into a financial hardship? All of a sudden, we start to look inside and say, well, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? Anybody had that voice speak to you? You know, something happens, something breaks, the car breaks down, and oh, what did I do wrong? Something goes on wrong with the house, the well pump goes out. Oh, no, I must not be living right. Somebody loses a job. Oh, if only I knew God better. You know, there's such a perverted view of what it is to walk in Christ. In this world, you are going to have tribulations. In fact, it says in Hebrews that they gladly received the ransacking of their houses. Why? Because their eyes are fixed on Jesus. Bob preached a message here a couple of weeks ago that was very, very significant. Probably one of the most foundational messages that we could ever receive. But just like football, we got to keep going over the foundations. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Unknown but Jesus. Keep your eyes. You turn your eyes to the circumstances and you're going to follow your circumstances. And if your circumstances are going into the pit, you're going to follow your circumstances into the pit. But I tell you, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. In the times and in the seasons of walking with God, there are times where it just feels like everything you touch turns to gold. You ever had those seasons? They're fun. And there are times and seasons where it's like everything that you say, you know, people are blessed, and you pray for people and they're healed and they get walking, you know, get up and walk with their from their infirmities. But I'll tell you what, there's other seasons. There are seasons where I've laid hands on people and laid hands on people and laid hands on people and laid hands on people some more, and no one's gotten healed. There are times where I've spoken the same things that I spoke before that set somebody free, and it doesn't happen. It's important to know what season we're in. The sons of Issachar, the difference between them and the rest was they knew the times and the seasons that they were in as a society. There's a lot of presumption, there's a lot of assumption going on that, you know, where we're at as a nation. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around and see the sin that our nation's in, does it? I mean, that's... anybody can look and see the crap that's in our nation. Anybody can look and see the stuff that's happening in our nation. Could it be? You know, in the 1960s, you know what was happening in the 1960s? I remember I was a paper boy at that time. I had a delivery route. And the headlines read, God is dead. Everything was happening on the universities. All of a sudden, free love was the mantra for the day, and God was old-fashioned and outdated. There was just everything that was holy, everything that was godly, everything that we knew that our society trusted in was being challenged. Authority was being challenged. What you learned at the universities was being challenged. The 60s, the 70s, they were really a time of social upheaval in our nation. Now, we didn't eat the fruit of that immediately. We're eating the fruit of what we discovered in the 60s and the 70s. I believe we're eating the fruit of that, a lot of the fruit of that right now. Some of it. The sexual promiscuity, the stuff that's happening in our society today, I believe it was something that we planted as a nation in a different season. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around and see that apart from the grace of God, we're really in a world of hurt as a nation. I'm seeing something different. Do you know that in the 60s was also an incredible revival that happened? Many of us don't ever hear about it. It's called the Jesus People Movement. Do you know that there were drug-infested, drunken hippies coming to Jesus by the groves, by the thousands? Do you know that as the enemy was coming in like a flood, God was also raising up a standard? Do you know that running parallel with the wickedness, there was also a righteousness that was being displayed in the most unlikely people on the face of the planet? And that movement just went like fire through our nation. You know, I'm a product of the Jesus People Movement. I got saved in 1978. It was kind of the tail end of that, but there's a lot of people here who got saved in 1978. And there was a period of time that was really influenced by the Jesus People Movement. It was a sovereign move. I mean, who in the church at that time would have chosen to put their finger on a bunch of hippies and preach Christ to them? They were countercultural to the nth degree. They had divorced themselves already from everything that was godly and churchy. And yet God chose to put his finger upon a sect of people that lit a fire through our nation. See, I'm silly enough to believe that where the enemy comes in like a flood, God is about his business of raising up a standard. I'm just foolish enough in my heart to believe that where the wickedness that we see is rising up, that God isn't up on his throne scratching his head and going, oh my goodness, what do I do? Look at them. Look what these naughty people in America have done after all I've done for them. I don't believe it. As I talk and as I've been in contact with different ministries and different things that are happening throughout our nation, there are revival fires burning everywhere. And you've heard me preach this. I believe this, so you've heard me talk about this. But I believe that we are in a season where Holy Spirit is about to blow upon these revival fires, all these little fires, little campfires. And I tell you, wickedness that's in our nation causes the people to be dry. I don't know if you realize that or not, but there's only one way to have your thirst quenched, and that's in the person of Jesus Christ. Your spiritual man, there's only one way to get that water, and that's through Jesus. And for the people that are walking, that are entrapped in the wickedness that's in our nation, they're dry. They're tinderboxes. And when Holy Spirit blows upon this nation, I believe we're going to see a wildfire of revival. We're going to see the most unlikely people on the face of the planet come to know Jesus. We're going to see lives transformed by the Holy Spirit as they get a taste of this living water in their quenched, in their thirsty souls, that they're just going to go for it. There's a danger. The Jesus People Movement was rejected by the standard, by the what was the church at that time, much of the church at that time. I want to encourage us as a body of Christ that we can welcome the unlovelies, the people that we haven't associated with in the past, the people that we pointed at and said, oh my God, look at them. Can I encourage us as the body of Christ? Number one, be ready. Be ready. What does it look like to be ready? I believe one of the things that we felt compelled to do at this time was to set Bob and Marcy in at least half time. Again, I want to see them be released full time in this house. But, well, in this house and in the city, their call really is to the city and to a region. They have a large call on their lives. In fact, one of the things Bob will not be doing is counseling, pastoral counseling. Everybody say after me, Bob will not be doing pastoral counseling. There you go. You're off the hook. I love pastoral counseling. Man, you know, I love one-on-one. I love being with hanging with people and doing that. And that's because I'm a pastor. He has a different call on his life. And he will not be, he'll be doing some ministry counseling, I believe. By ministry counseling, what that is calling out the gifting and the talents in you, calling it to the forefront, and then bringing a release to it. Equipping and training, pastor, that's what we landed upon. That's what I was looking for earlier. But one of the things we felt that we needed to do to be ready is to get Bob in place and to start getting some things ready for a harvest that's coming. And to equip you, the body of Christ, to do the work of the ministry. If we had 35 absolutely new believers coming out of drugs and alcohol and homosexuality into this church tomorrow, and Pastor Dave can't do all the work, nor can all the elders do all the work, what would your response be? Think about it. What would your response be? What's that? Pick up the slack? That's it. That's it. See, we're about to enter into a new season as a church. I believe that. I don't say something like that lightly. And the elders around me know me. The guys around me know me. That I don't say something like that lightly. I don't just jump on a bandwagon because somebody said something. I've got to know it in my heart. And I know in my heart that God is going to bring an influx into this house, that God is going to be bringing some people into this house, and God's going to be bringing finances into this house. I believe that there is a shift that's going to happen in the way that we make a living. Casey Hanna has some things in his heart to release for creativity and entrepreneurship. I believe that God wants to make a marked difference between you and who's in the world. I believe that God wants to take and put a stamp on his people that declares that they have their doorposts covered with the blood of Jesus, and that they're in the Father's house where there's safety, where there's protection. Does that mean that you're never going to have another trial? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that you're going to grow by the trials. You're going to grow by the hardships. You're going to grow by the things that are coming against you. That the resistance that will destroy other people, that will destroy lesser trees, is going to cause you to be deeper and stronger. Your roots are going to go deeper and stronger. But with that, there is a prosperity. And, you know, the people that are in this house, you know that I've preached on prosperity probably once or twice in my existence here. I'm not a prosperity preacher. So when I talk about prosperity, a prosperity that comes from a prosperous soul, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Why? Because you walk in truth. If you continue to read 3 John, it's because I have no greater joy than when my children walk in truth and live in truth. See, and there's a truth that's going to be revealed in hearts, and there's a shift that's coming. And the prospering of a soul is so much more valuable than all the prosperity, all the financial prosperity of the world. And you can have financial prosperity and be poverty-ridden in your soul. See, my prayer for us as the body of Christ is that, yeah, we can have riches, we can have prosperity, but it'll pale in comparison to the prosperity of your soul. We're going to break bread together today. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Oh, it sure does. It'll probably work for you. It didn't work for me.
Okay. I hate doing this. My insides are about to burst. I know I'm supposed to.
Do it.
I was going to call you regarding 3 weeks ago. That day during worship, I had such an experience. I didn't even want to tell you because it was weird. I talked to Judith about it, and she said, "You better tell him." But I actually had, it was like I was giving birth, and I had to push, and that's kind of intimate, you know. But I did, and it was, I couldn't help it, and I'm like, there was something birthed that day, because I felt it. And just today, I'm like, I get shakes. I'm like, oh yeah, I get shakes after I have a baby. Now you'll really know how my birth process goes, but you know, and I saw physical things. The Lord shows me a lot of spiritual stuff in my body, and I know it took place, and I could see things. I'm like, oh, I'm not looking like right here. We're like, I'm pregnant anymore. Anyways, I just had to confirm what you said today.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that when we have confirmation, you know. Most of the things we hear from God are subjective, aren't they? And it sure helps when you have somebody else that brings confirmation. That's why we're the body of Christ. We encourage one another with the word, and that's a very good prophetic picture of what's been happening. See, what we're about to experience was planted in a different season, and in fact in many different seasons. Some of the things that we're about to experience, we've been crying out for. I've been crying out for 33 years. So revival in our nation, does that mean that all of our financial woes will be taken care of? Nah, not necessarily. Does it mean that the storms are going to quit and the earthquakes? Nah, it doesn't necessarily mean that. I don't know what it means for that. But I know this, that as we cultivate a life of radical thanksgiving, that's what's going to empower us to live in victory and to be overcomers in this season that we're in. Amen?
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.